Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, the Astros are in Baltimore tonight. Justin Verlander going for his 18th win. They won last night against the Tampa Bay Rays, 5-2. They sweep the Rays. That was good. Good to see them mop up with a team that they possibly will see in the divisional series of the playoffs.
Yeah, the Astros sometimes ability to struggle with lesser teams or proclivity to struggle with lesser teams is pretty far down on the list of things that concern me when it comes to how a team's going to play in the playoffs. Like the Yankees. The Yankees struggle against good pitching. Hey, that's something that's going to be an issue during the playoffs. The Astros underperforming versus the A's won't be one bit of an issue in the playoffs. They will 100% not see the A's in the playoffs. So don't worry about their inability to to hit the A's. Yes.
Do not worry about that. I don't know if you saw this, Seth, in The Athletic, the Dusty Baker. We remember the Zach Greinke articles that we've seen where they talk to a bunch of his former teammates and they tell stories. I had no idea that Dusty Baker was interesting or fun enough behind the scenes for this to happen with some of the people who've played for him through the years.
The man is one of only several people who people claim invented the high five, Sean.
That's true.
So, yeah. There will be people who claim that Dusty Baker invented the high five. But there's a group of about four or five athletes from that time that either teammates of Dusty's or in another couple sports. Somewhere it all came up. Dusty was one of the first, okay? Yeah. We'll say that he was a pioneer in the high-fiving of, which was before high fives, people would give like formal salutations to each other after events. There was no way to celebrate. Basically,
they would
communally. Yeah.
Well played, good sir. Yeah. Yes, that's what they would say.
Well, I mean, they wouldn't yet allow you to dance yet because that was the devil. So a high five was the closest you could get to showing actual jubilation without running afoul of the league or God.
I come away reading this thing in The Athletic. Come away thinking like Dusty would be fun to play for. Like some of these stories, like just and we've seen some of it. Like Fromber's a great example of it. Like Dusty and the way my big takeaway, and I'm going to read a few of them here, but my big takeaway from this article, and it's like an oral history almost of Dusty Baker being a manager with several different teams, that kind of thing. There are no Astros that they interviewed for the story, at least that I could find in here. It's a fairly lengthy read. But I came away with, boy, this dude is just really cool. For a guy who's in his 70s especially, he is easily connected to the younger generation. They love the guy. And number two, he's got a way about him of communicating with players and using anecdotes and stories and things like that to get his point across.
Yeah, I think the work that he's done with Framber, who between, you know, Framber has worked with a sports psychologist, everybody knows that, or at least most people know that. But I think it's really easy to see how somebody with Dusty's demeanor and experience and kind of way with people was just a huge assistance to Framber, who 100% needed a calming influence at times over the end as he worked his way into being what he is now.
Yeah.
So that I think that's probably his most, when it comes to if you look past however you feel about different lineup experiments and everything, how does he influence the team? Framber's a big one.
A huge one. Huge example with the Astros. Some of these stories are great. Bronson Arroyo, who was a pitcher for him with the Reds, I was standing out in front of the hotel with a girl, and he walked up to her and he said, "You know who I am?" She said, "No." He said, "You seen that commercial with the guy with the beard and the beer commercial, the most interesting man in the world?" He said, well, I'm the second most interesting man in the world. And Arroyo says, that was pretty much the damn truth.
Is he trying to steal Bronson's girl?
I don't know. That's I choose to believe yes. I choose to believe. There's a couple.
That is, by the way, that's an underrated move. Underrated move you can do for a younger guy is to, like, in some way make him look cool in front of a girl. Which is hard to pull off, because if you do it the wrong way, you end up just looking like a creepy old weird guy. Don't go up and just start talking about how nice her legs are or something. Like, just compliment the dude somehow.
Yes.
To make the guy, you want the girl to see that, oh, wow, he's popular with people.
Right, right.
Yes. And as an older guy, especially, she will look at you as like, wow, this guy's probably respectable and he likes Bronson and he's interesting according to him.
Tell me if this surprises you. At one of his previous stops, he was venting about about advanced metrics and exit velocity.
Yeah.
Sean Kelly, who was a player who played for him, said, Dusty's like, I see all you guys in the video room just looking at your swings, reading all these stats. At some point, you just have to say, F all, that bleep, and just go out there and hit. He's like, all I hear is y'all talking about launch angle and tendencies and exit velocity. And he said, he's like, F and exit velocity? Mother F and exit velocity? How about bleeping F and exit hits? Okay.
So he's okay. So far what I've taken is he's probably really good for Framber. He might be. That's the right attitude for somebody who's slumping. I wonder how him and Bregman talk about stuff like that. Because Bregman, when Bregman is slumping, Bregman gets super super technical. And I bet there's a part to where Dusty can tell him like, listen, man. Like, you are overthinking this to a huge, like, get out there and just hit.
You know who else is big into that? Lance McCullers. Yeah. Not exit velo as a hitter, obviously, but he's huge into the metrics as a pitcher. And Lance swears by the guy. Like, Lance loves Dusty Baker. So
yeah.
I think, and again, these are all quotes from players previous to getting to Houston. So I think one of my takeaways with this whole thing, Seth, in reading some of these anecdotes, I'll get to a few more of them, is Dusty, at age 70 or 71 when he took the job, he's 73 now, there's probably a lot of adaptation that had to go on with him, which is not an easy thing to do when you got that 7 handle in front of your age. I give him credit. He probably had to embrace some of the analytics, I would imagine.
I mean, it's been a grad. Like, any of the guys, Chicago notwithstanding, any of the older guys in the league, I think, that are still in the league, there aren't many guys around anymore who haven't embraced it in some way, shape, or form. The reason they're still around is that they understand, like, okay, yeah, these are good new tools that we have. But, and it, like, even that story with Dusty, I think it's, they're also good at kind of, because the analytics nerds, people don't realize this, the analytics nerds are fully open to, like, input that they're going too far or they're giving guys too much information, because they know that's a hazard. You don't want players out there thinking about 29 different things. So you do need a balance between, you need a yin and a yang. You need, like, yeah, all the data, but you do need somebody pushing back and saying, all right, that's enough. Like, we got to simplify this a little bit.
Next one. Arroyo says he sums up the whole world in Dustyisms. And Darren Lewis, who used to play outfield for him, says one day he said, Darren, when you go up to the plate, do you look around? And I said, no. He said, survey the land. You need to survey the land. Look, the center fielder's playing over there. The left fielder's playing over here. So this is how they're going to pitch you. And Sean Kelly would say, you would listen, you would believe it, and then it would just be in your brain. You don't really know where the hell he's going with any of this. Sometimes I don't think he knew where he was going with it, but it would always put a smile on our faces.
It's like, you know what it is?
Yeah.
It's like parenting. It's like those little, those commercials that encourage people to become a foster parent,
mm-hmm.
where they show that, like, look, you don't have to be good at any of this stuff. You just got to be there. You just got to be kids and professional athletes just need somebody that they know believes in them and loves them and wants the best for them.
Be present. That's it.
Yeah.
My favorite section, one of my favorite sections of this article, is when they all recounted what he got. I guess he's big into getting birthday gifts for guys.
Oh, that's a good move.
Yeah, so player Solis says, on my birthday, I came into the clubhouse. He had a bottle of wine waiting in my locker. Helsley says, one time he called me into his office in Cincinnati. I didn't do a whole lot of cussing, and he knew that, so he'd always apologize for cussing around me. He says, hey, Helsley, I know how you grew up. I know you're a cheap bleep. I know you should give this to your wife. And he gave me a Louis Vuitton purse. The big gift
guy. Because he knew that Helsley wouldn't use the Louis Vuitton purse himself because he's cheap.
Right, right. Yeah, he wouldn't buy it. Yeah, Ricky Blanton.
I mean, if you weren't so cheap, he would use that purse everywhere he went. But yeah.
Joe Blanton said he left moonshine in my locker. I went into his office and he was like, I got it from a buddy of mine. I know you're from Kentucky, so you probably like that bleep.
Dude, good moonshine is don't sleep on it.
Literally
you'll vomit and die. Mm-hmm. But seriously, my neighbor in League City used to make his own moonshine, and it was delicious.
That's a good neighbor.
Very powerful.
That's a good neighbor. Jason Worth said when he was in Washington, Dusty called me in one day and was like, you like classic rock, don't you? I was like, well, I can appreciate classic rock. I get down with all genres. And he hands me an autographed picture of the lead singer of The Who and tells me, you remind me of that, dude. I want you to have this. I feel like Jason Worth probably didn't totally appreciate it because he just said lead singer of The Who. Yeah, he didn't say the guy's name.
I don't think, I wonder if Worth didn't know Daltrey. Is Roger Daltrey or Robert Daltrey?
Roger Daltrey.
But it sounds like maybe Dusty didn't know either. Worth in telling the story just couldn't remember it.
Maybe. Glendon Rush says, I'm getting changed one day, and Dusty comes out and he's like, G-Unit. He called me G-Unit. G-Unit, come here. He brought me into his office, introduced me to Hank Aaron, and I just sat there for probably, no exaggeration, 15 or 20 minutes and just listened to these two guys talk baseball. I was totally overwhelmed.
Wow. Yeah.
That's pretty cool that he just ran and got Glendon Rush for no reason.
Like, and just for the guests, because he can be in there and
yeah,
just suck it
like
all
what
in.
Made him think to go get G-Unit? So I thought that was interesting. Kelly says he hurt my hand high-fiving after I'd come off the mound because he was so pumped up. He was more pumped up I struck out the side than I was. So not only did he invent the high five, Seth, but he brought it with the high five.
Well, yeah, that was the whole thing, is the later generations wouldn't do it as well as the originals. Dusty probably hates that.
Yeah. Ryan Dempster has a couple good stories. He was a pitcher that pitched for Dusty in Chicago, I believe. Dusty called him into his office. They were struggling as a team at the end of the year, and Dusty asked Dempster what his incentives in his contract were. And he said, I never had a manager do that. I said, game's finished. I have an incentive for game's finished. So he started bringing him in to any game he could to finish it down the stretch.
As long as
he said, as long as my arm was feeling okay, I was finishing the game. So he wanted him to get his incentives.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. Yeah. That's you know, it was like that was Rex Ryan. Was like that. I know guys that have played for Rex Ryan as a coordinator, and that's kind of stuff you can do as a coordinator. And it's tougher as a head football coach, baseball manager, maybe a little bit different. But like Rex Ryan, when guys were free agents, he would design defenses just to get those guys free, to get them sacks so they'd get paid. And yeah, they you know, like the Ravens at the time and the Jets weren't going to be able to keep them. But those guys played like defensive MVPs that year, and because they knew guys knew that when it was their turn to be a free agent, the same thing would happen. So they were totally cool with it. It's a badass move for it. You're playing with somebody like that that's not ashamed. It isn't trying to tell you about all the lofty ideals that you should actually care about. He just boils it down to like, oh, people like getting paid. Yeah.
You know who didn't do that? This is going to shock you. This is according to Ted Johnson, Bill Belichick.
Belichick was the opposite.
Ted, all of a sudden, he had a percentage of snaps incentive, and miraculously down the stretch, he was getting far fewer snaps than he was earlier in the year. Here's the last one. This is the story that might scare you a little bit if you're an Astros fan. Okay, you ready? Joe Blanton. I heard stories that if he had a dream the night before about a situation, and in the game a similar situation came up, he would make a change based on the dream.
Yeah.
Sean Kelly follows up and says, every now and then Dusty would go with someone off the wall out of the bullpen, and you'd be like, what the? I'm not sure I follow this one. But we would make the joke, I guess he dreamt that bleep up last night. He'd be the first to tell you. He'd be like, I had this dream last night.
Yeah, we've heard that a couple times. Yeah. We've heard that and whiskey at least once. Yeah.
Okay. I had not
heard. Yeah, he's talked about this one. He has the thoughts in the middle of the night. He wakes up. He has a pen and paper next to his bed.
Yeah.
His wife used to complain about it because he turned the light on. So now he has a little pen with a light
on
it.
That I remember. I guess I just never equated it to like having a dream about it and like coming up with it like during REM sleep, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I just thought maybe he was staring at the ceiling, thinking about things.
No, he wakes up with the idea.
Got you.
And yeah.
Got
or you. Some, the one time, I can't remember what it was last year, was after he'd had a couple glasses of whiskey late at night.
Yeah.
He said it came. So sometimes that I remember. It's the dreaming. Yeah. Sometimes it's the whiskey.
Yep. Hey, we are getting you ready for Texans and Bears Sunday afternoon in Chicago. Texans countdown gets started 9 a.m. It's presented by Modelo. That's me and Seth. Kickoff's at noon. That's the Texans and the Bears. Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, Andre Ware, all on the call there. Texans postgame starts right after the game. We're going to take you up to Sunday Night Football. Clint Sterner and myself. Up next, Darren Revelle, Action Network. Darren is big on these Aaron Judge home run balls. It actually had a little bit of a, I won't say back and forth, but Darren tweeted and Landry Locker replied, what is the appropriate offer? What is the appropriate way to handle catching the 61st or 62nd Aaron Judge home run ball? Darren Revelle joins us next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, good to be with you on a Thursday. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne. We go to the hotline right now. Action Network. Download that free Action Network app. We got Thursday Night Football tonight, Steelers and the Browns. And track all your betting action for the weekend with Action Network. Go to actionnetwork.com as well. Darren Revelle from the Action Network joins us. Darren, great to talk to you as always. This Aaron Judge home run chase has you busy right now, it sounds like.
Oh my God. I think the 20-year-old kid made me a lot more busy. I mean, come on, man. Yeah. Aaron Judge doesn't need the ball. The Yankees don't need the ball. You know, there's nothing wrong with protecting yourself. Major League Baseball has long determined that when the ball goes into the stands, unlike soccer, or I guess you could keep the golf ball if you get hit in the head, but you know, I mean, it's your ball. And I know what's happening is, you know, they got guys with the Yankees and MLB like sitting in the stands ready to accost these people and put pressure on them and hope that they kneel in the moment, but that was a bad deal. I mean, to get four signed baseballs and a signed bat, you know, basically $1,500 for something that could be $100,000 or more. I mean, that's a bad deal.
Yeah, I guess. And what's the, when the teams or players do buy these balls, how often do they still end up getting sold anyway at some point? I would imagine if the team
usually
wants
not, if they usually yeah. not, usually not, you know, there's a couple stories, but you know, normally they are legit kept, because that would obviously be, that's a bad PR. I mean, I think only Brett Favre would sell a ball in that situation. You know,
yeah, Brett Favre. We haven't talked to you about Brett Favre. I almost said shenanigans, but that feels like it's underselling it a little bit. I guess just embezzlement or what have you. What's going to happen to Brett Favre? Is he going to go to jail?
He should. He should. I mean, to do this twice, right? To have the meeting and the welfare situation, and then to reroute funds for the volleyball. I mean, God, I think he got hit so many times his moral compass got knocked out of him.
Yeah.
I mean, unreal. I mean, sometimes in life, there's just like, there's a line that you just got to be like, yeah, you probably. you probably shouldn't be texting, yeah, is anyone going to find out about this? Like, once you say that sentence, like, you should know you're probably going to jail.
Well, and Favre is a guy, Darren, who, if he just played his cards the right way post-playing career,
would have been God.
God, yeah. God. Like, he you know, a different sort of vibe and type than Peyton Manning, who's done a great job of capitalizing on his post-career, an amazing job of it. But Favre could have been, I think, captured similar notoriety and wealth and all those things from his post-career, and he's just flushing it down the toilet here.
And then he's doing horrible cameos for, like, 1999.
Is he really?
Yeah, really bad cameos where you could tell he's, like, reading. It's like, ha. I'm Brett Favre. Like to say, you know, happy birthday to Mara. I know she's 25 years old. Yeah, just bad, just bad.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, I got to go find some of those.
Not to mention, speaking of cameos, I feel like he's ruined the movie Something About Mary now. Where, like poor Cameron Diaz, you thought she ended up with a nice guy at the end. Turns out, not only was he actually married at the time, but he's also an embezzler.
He's
my God.
White collar criminal. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Darren Revelle, Action Network, joining us. So, Darren, back to Judge for a second here. You put on Twitter what you would ask for if you caught the 61st or 62nd home run ball.
Yeah.
Judge bat used for the home run, inscribed by Judge. One of the jerseys worn by Judge, inscribed by Judge. A hard ticket to the game, inscribed by Judge. And then pictures with Aaron Judge. I guess, is the collective worth of that something that's a little closer to what you're talking about, that these balls would be worth?
I mean, I'm a smart negotiator. It's worth more than the bat. The bat and the jersey, you know, is worth more than the ball.
Okay.
You know, like, I don't think I'm getting both of them. But the reason why I asked for both of them is because you could make an argument, you know, they're changing in and out their jerseys. You know, he's changing in and out his jerseys probably a couple times. The interesting thing I'm wondering, I think they've covered this, but I assume now the jersey, the uniform is the Yankees, unless Judge buys them, which I think he's probably doing now. But technically, I'm just saying that, you know, that's how it works. You got to buy your jerseys.
Yeah.
I think probably, you know, I probably think, like, you know, maybe 10-15% of guys in the NFL are buying their jerseys every week now.
Some of them, trade them with other players and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but if you trade them, you've bought it.
Yeah, you know, that's what I mean.
You can't just. Yeah, I think it's $350 a jersey.
Okay,
yeah, they're expensive.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Hey, Thursday Night Football's tonight. Big matchup between the Browns and the Steelers. At least two big name teams are going against each other. How is Thursday Night Football being looked at in terms of ratings and otherwise success and or disappointments from last week?
I mean,
week so far?
Amazon says they're getting legit numbers. I got a problem because if I'm trying to stream through my TV versus stream through my phone, it's a two play 40-second difference, and so I'm having a hard time. I'm a big, you know, live gambler guy.
Mm-hmm.
I am actually watching a data feed instead of watching the game. Now, I obviously realize I'm not the casual guy, but it is an issue if the casual fans are getting crushed because they're two or three plays behind.
Yeah, I mean, how big a talking point is that when the NFL?
Not enough. And Amazon really, you know, I asked them, they're not going on the record, I hear. Like, people, I don't think people thought about this. Like, oh, what does it matter if it's 20, 30 seconds? Well, as you know, live betting is probably, you know, 40% right now. But as it gets more and more, you got to nail that issue. And then you have people, it just totally depends on what device you're at. And people are like, oh, you know, it's two plays behind. What's the big deal? Well, a lot of times it's everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now Nielsen isn't tracking the ratings on this. I know
Nielsen is. I actually got a message this morning that said, now I'm going to have to scroll down to see where I got it, but I did get a message. Oh, here it says, Nielsen ratings for our first game are in. Still looking at numbers. Based on our own Amazon first-party measurement and Nielsen across all platforms, we averaged 15.3 million viewers for Thursday Night Football.
Oh, that's good. Wow.
That's better than people expected, is it not?
Yeah. People thought maybe the number would be like 8 million, you know, but who knows? Who knows? I think people are tuning. I think the latency in the betting is going to get a lot more talk over time.
Do you think that, I mean, that's a big number. Do you think some of that is, I mean, there's probably a lot that goes into the number, but how big a factor do you think is the curiosity factor of the first regular season Amazon broadcast as opposed to just the popularity of football?
I actually do think new broadcasters, they're in that sense, I think people are looking at that. There is probably a small novelty factor there. But again, I don't know. Football is football. There, you did see on Twitter a lot of people who were frustrated. Like people didn't know that, people didn't realize the deal, and they're like, "Wait a second, this isn't also simulcast on the NFL Network?"
Right. There
was a bunch of people who were like, "Wait, I don't have Amazon. How do I get the game?" You don't.
Yep.
What? Right. Well, that's only like 60% of Americans have Prime. So you got to sign up for Prime to get to get these games, which I guess Amazon says that they've never had so many Prime signups in such a small window of time. But it's like one more a la carte item for a lot of people if you're only signing up for Prime so you can watch football.
Right. It's like you cut the cord and then you're like, wait a second. Now when I add up everything, it's more than my $220 cable bill.
Yeah. No. We've lamented that many a time on this show for sure. Darren Revelle, Action Network, joining us. Hey, Darren, before we cut you loose, the tweet that you had that we cited.
Was that a pun because of I said cut the cable?
No, it wasn't. I'm not that clever.
Well, cut you loose makes it seem like this is painful. I don't, you know.
No. We love having you on. What are you talking about? No, yeah. Not at all. The tweet that you had up that we cited earlier about catching Judge's 61st or 62nd mm-hmm. home run ball and what you would ask for, one of our coworkers who hosts the midday show here, Landry Locker, replied to you.
And, oh, I saw that.
Okay, so I want to read the tweet and you
what
tell
did
me
he say?
He's I'll yeah, read it ahead. Here and you tell me if it's easier said than done. Whereas you said you would trade it for a bunch of things. He said he would step one, take the ball and leave the stadium. Step two,
right.
Find a kid to get the ball unknowingly signed by Aaron Judge before a game. Step three, contact auction folks. Step four, sell.
So one thing that he didn't do is before you leave the stadium, you have to get to MLB authentication and say, I need this authenticated now.
Oh.
If he doesn't do that before he leaves the stadium, it's like the depreciating car out of the showroom. Once he walks out of that stadium, and they're not going to help you. They're not going to help you. That's one of the things you have to insist on. Where is the MLB authenticator? I need this authenticated now,
dude. Probably 2% of the people in the stadium would even know you need to do that, I would imagine.
And they're not going to help. They will not help you, and that's part of the pressure of this whole
thing. Oh, the hard sell.
Then the other thing is. Okay, you're going to give it to a kid. How close are you going to stand behind the kid? Are you going to pay the kid's father? How is that whole thing going to work out? Yeah.
I know about the authenticators because every game I go to, I stop by the authenticators' offices and I need you to authenticate D's. And they say, D's what? And then I hit them with it. And, so they love me. Yeah.
Nothing like a D's nuts joke for the authenticator. Yes.
they love their
brains. One more thing. So this morning, you know, we always talk about do people actually bet at stadiums? This morning, GeoComply, which actually, you know, GeoComply is the guys that geofence it. So mm-hmm. if you're in Texas, you can't claim that you're in Louisiana and try to get on BetMGM's platform.
Right.
They have some unbelievable data this morning that shows unique users logging on. Now, I don't know if they make a bet, but at least they are looking at odds in the stadium. Let me give you for the first 2 weeks, the top logons.
Yes.
Vikings at Eagles, 11.8% of the crowd at least looked at a sportsbook's odds.
While they were in the stadium?
Correct.
Okay.
Chiefs Cardinals, 11%. So at Cardinals, that was a week one game. And then Eagles at Lions was 9.4%. The Patriots at Steelers game was 5,000 unique logins. But what's interesting is there was 40,000 total logins, and that was 28% of all the activity for Pittsburgh during that time period.
For the city?
For the whole city.
That's wild. So this is, this just in, Darren, this gambling during games while sitting in the stadium ain't going away anytime soon.
Well, we always said no serious bettor is doing that. And I still don't know if that's the case, but because this could be all the casual thing.
Sure.
But we've never had data like this.
Yeah.
So this is the first time we've seen this, so it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's fascinating stuff. Action
Network. And the only reason why I'd be like, oh, a serious bettor would go to exactly what we talked about, to jump the live 7-second, 10-second, 20-second delay and bet live, right? That's the only reason why a serious bettor would do it. But, now, there's evidence that people feel comfortable. Maybe the speeds are fast enough that they're doing it.
That's fascinating stuff, man. Yeah. ActionNetwork.com is where you can find all of Darren Revelle's work. And on Twitter, of course, at Darren Revelle. And he always joins us on Thursdays to chop it up on topics like this. We enjoy it. Darren, as always, enjoy the weekend. Enjoy Thursday Night Football, and we'll catch up with you next week.
You got it, guys.
All right, thanks. Good stuff. Darren Revelle joining us here. I'm fascinated by the baseball stuff. The Aaron Judge baseball stuff fascinates me.
It's nice of him to say that he's not miserable when he comes on with us.
That was good. Cut you loose is a colloquialism that I use a lot when we're talking together. It's my way of telling them we're about to finish up here. That's all.
I think Yurko kind of ran off the phone with us earlier. I think he had to get somewhere. So he was.
You think? I think he would have stayed on for another hour if we let him.
I thought he said he had to get going because he's been on for a half hour.
Yeah.
So we were running over. We did have to get rid of him. He just kept telling good stories.
We did. All right. John Lopez, Landry Locker, they're going to jump in with us next. We'll find out what's going on In the Loop. Also, we got some updates from Texans practice. There's one particular position for the Texans that might be super depleted come Sunday.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we'll talk to John Lopez and Landry Locker, find out what they got going on in just a little bit. Quick report out of Texans practice. It's courtesy of Aaron Wilson. Texans tight end, Brevin Jordan, ankle, not practicing again. So that's a problem. But that is compounded by the following. Pharaoh Brown, who previously had a hamstring injury in the preseason, not practicing so far today.
Oh, what the hell?
So just to be clear, the media, once the regular season rolls around, the media is only out, allowed out there for the first chunk of practice, you know, maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes. They call it a shooting period where you're allowed to take your pictures and whatnot, shoot your videos. And then you are, unlike training camp, you're asked to leave the premises. You're not allowed to stay out there and watch practice. So at least for the portion that Aaron was watching, Pharaoh
they don't
want to
see the – they don't want the media, i.e. moles – to see the super secret formations.
Yeah.
And Jeff Driskel cat plays.
That's it. That's
so,
it.
So, yeah, the Jeff. I'm curious to watch the Driskel cat next time around because I think there was an element of surprise even in the first successful conversion last week. By the second time they tried it, it was the first time in the four times that we've seen the Driskel cat that the defensive end actually read the zone read properly. And the problem was that Driskel handed it off, and two offensive linemen just got completely worked.
Yep.
I think it was Kenyon Green and A.J. Cann both had rough downs where their guy got their guys came free and swallowed up Damian Pierce. So they're going to have to try something new with Driskel this time. It can't just be the zone read. I think they're going to have to use a little bit more trickery.
Malik Collins did not practice yesterday, according to the injury report, because of a knee. Jerry Hughes didn't practice because he's just resting. It's not injury-related rest. Brevin Jordan, ankle. Isaac Yiadom, thigh. Collins, I guess. Collins would be the concerning one.
Well, he was on the report last week and still played.
Okay.
So we'll see. Yeah, that would be the concern. They're rotating a lot of guys through, but he's the best pass rusher on the interior.
Yeah.
The other guys, so far... The interior defensive line has been a minor disappointment for me, just that I think Malik Collins is generating a good pass rush. Nobody else really is. Each one of them have had some good moments. I think Heinisch has had a couple of really good moments versus the run. Thomas Booker had a nice tackle for a loss last week, too. But as a whole, Collins is the only real genuine defensive tackle getting much of a pass rush right now.
Yep.
So I hopefully that improves.
Yep. If Pharaoh Brown doesn't play, boy, the tight end, I guess, boy, might we see Jordan Akins?
Well, if you're saying Brevin Jordan also, if both Brevin Jordan and Pharaoh Brown don't play?
Yes, yeah. Jordan's definitely injured. Pharaoh Brown, we just have speculation because he's not practicing right now.
And Jordan injured his ankle in Indy. He was banged up last week and played, but maybe it's gotten worse, so I don't know.
Pick up O.J. Howard. So. Pick up O.J. Howard, baby, if you're in fantasy.
Yeah, him.
Maybe the only one to throw to.
That was a disappointment last week. Was that they didn't build on or have success with their multiple tight end sets?
Yeah,
or that OJ Howard or Brevin Jordan or any of those guys didn't really come through. Brevin Jordan had a really nice block on a counter play where AJ Cann's guy ended up beating him, and Brevin Jordan wasn't originally scheduled to block that dude, but he crossed Brevin Jordan's face, so Brevin Jordan blocked him, and it made a play that could have been dead in the water, go for like 5 or 6 yards, because Brevin Jordan either A, adjusted on the fly, which I prefer to believe, or B, his ankle was so banged up that he couldn't turn direction to get up to where he was supposed to go anyway, and he just ended up running into AJ Cann's guy.
I
prefer to think it was A, that Brevin Jordan has gotten very heady and smart about his blocking.
I choose glass half full.
Yes.
Quick text, and then we'll talk to John Lopez, 713-503. Wait, Ravel said, or you guys said players buy jerseys for what? I missed that. We were talking.
$350.
Yeah, $350. We were talking to Darren Ravel in the previous segment. And yeah, the players don't own the jerseys that they're wearing. They're owned by the team, but we see a lot of players swapping jerseys after games. Players have to buy the jerseys to do that. $350 is the price, which I retroactively, like 12 years later, feel like I should have thanked David Anderson more. He gave Sammy at the end of the season, like in 2009, he gave young Sammy, Sammy was 10 at the time, he gave Sammy the battle red jerseys they wore on Monday night that year. Like a number 89 wow. David Anderson. Sammy yeah. wore it everywhere for like the next 4 years.
They did. One year they gave them to us. They gave us the battle reds 1 year because Steve Foley, after we won one of the first games that we wore battle red jerseys, everybody was like psyched about, you know, like we thought as players, we thought the battle red jerseys were badass. And after the big win, Steve Foley, the outside linebacker, after Bob McNair got up and said something really nice, Steve Foley like grabbed Mr. McNair and was like, "We get to keep the jerseys, right?" And kind of shook him. And Bob was like, "Sure."
And then proceeded to have to scratch out a check for about 15 grand.
So we strong-armed the owner into giving us the battle.
That's great. It caught him in a moment of weakness. That's funny.
And Steve was being like fun, like exuberant about it. Yeah. He wasn't like genuinely trying to strong-arm. Now I think Mr. McNair just got caught up in the moment and was genuinely happy. It did look a little bit like we were intimidating.
That's
him into
funny.
Giving us the jerseys.
That's great. What's up, John Lopez?
It's funny to me that like NFL players, I know some aren't multimillionaires, but that it still matters that much that they don't have to pay for the jersey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, hey, it's free stuff. Free stuff is free stuff.
$350 is $350.
It goes back to my my t-shirt launcher theory. You know, guys on the front row, Rusty Harden included.
Yeah.
Go nuts.
Waving arms.
Like,
yeah.
Give me that free t-shirt. Yeah. I want the free t-shirt.
If it's free, it's for me.
It's carnival quality fabric. And
for the giveaway t-shirts, they are. They are. It's like burlap.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter, man, how much money you have. I've seen Rusty do that so many times. I'm Rusty.
Yeah. Come on. He got grandkids. That's what it's for. It's for his grandkids.
What are we doing here?
So what's happening, man?
Man, we got a lot happening. Davis Mills is going to be front and center today. Brandon Scott joins us, which is always a lot of fun. We might get a player off the field today.
Okay.
And usually when I say might, it's not like when your mom says maybe.
Yeah.
You know, maybe for us generally means yes, it'll happen.
Yeah.
They're just trying to figure it out. Like if mom and dad says maybe, that's a no. But for us, a maybe is generally a yes.
By and large is yes. Yeah, you guys do a great job with those interviews.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. Much appreciated. We're going to revisit Aaron Rodgers saying R-E-L-A-X and somebody on the Texans saying the exact opposite. All kinds of good stuff.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What would you ask for if you caught one of Aaron Judge's home run balls? 60, 61,
we had this
62.
Discussion yesterday, and at first I was like, I'll take the high road. I'll just give it to him, get a bat, take a picture, and have the story for the rest of my life.
Darren Revelle says you're a big dummy.
Well, then I realized I was a big dummy.
Yeah.
And I by the end of the show, I was like, give me the 500K or the 250K or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
At first, I was taking the high road, and then I swerved to the low road.
Now, Revelle did say that Landry's solution...
When they went high, we went low.
Yeah. Well, Landry replied to Revelle's ask with what he would do. And Revelle kind of shot a couple holes in it. Like, well, you'd have to go to the Major League Baseball authenticator in the stadium to go get it authenticated. And then they'd try to strong arm you into giving it to them, or they just wouldn't authenticate it, that kind of thing. Yeah. So we brought up, and Revelle had seen Landry's reply.
So I'm not nearly as forthcoming and good a guy as I wanted to be.
Yeah.
Just give me the money.
We learn about ourselves every day.
Just give me the money.
That's fine. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies to you.
Thank you.
And good tidings as well.
Good tidings, glad tidings,
like
all the tidings.
Term.
Yes. We're done. We're out of time. Up next, In the Loop, John Lopez and Landry Locker, along with Figgy Fig. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Have a great day, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.